Welcome to From Rock Bottom to Badass. And today we have Cindy Van Arnim. Arnim. And it says welcome Cindy back here, but you can't see it because my kid uses up all my dry erase markers on the paper. So none of them work.
I love it. Thanks for having me on the show today.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. So tell all the people, who are you?
What a deep question. Where does one begin with that?
Whatever your soul tells you to.
Yeah, I am. Well, let's talk labels. I am a master numerologist, a quantum numerologist. I'm a possibilitarian. I'm a coach. I am a daughter. I am all sorts of things. But at the core of who I am a child of God.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Awesome answer. So in order to be on this podcast, you had to have related with having a recovery or a rebirth story in some way, shape, or form, right? So define that for me. What does that mean in general and in your life to have a rebirth or recovery story?
Well, recently it feels like I'm having rebirths on a regular basis, like once a week, because we're speeding up, right? But I think the core of my story comes from when I was younger. I grew up on a farm, very happy childhood, loved my dad. My dad was my biggest cheerleader, was always saying, you have so much potential. You can be, do, and have everything you desire. And when he was 16, he passed away suddenly of a heart attack. He was one of the healthiest people I know, but he worked hard. Farmers work hard. And in that, I developed several different beliefs. Number one, that everyone would abandon me, including God. And I became very angry at God. And I also developed the belief that in order to succeed at anything, you had to work hard, but hard work would kill you. Wasn't a great set of beliefs to come up to create for myself, but then I started making a series of poor decisions based off of those beliefs. You name the bad decision, Cindy made it. So I fell in with the wrong crowd, and I ended up becoming a cocaine addict for 3 years. I was going for a week without food, a week without sleep. I was 90 pounds soaking wet, and I was killing myself. And my mom, throughout the whole process, my whole family was pressuring her to get me to go to rehab, that I needed tough love. I needed to be kicked out of the house, all of these pieces. And my mom just kept loving me. That was all she did. And she just said, I don't love your actions, but I love you. And she kept saying that over and over and over again until it actually did reprogram me. I know.
I have chills. My crown chakra is tingling and I am about to cry because I had the same type of mom during my bull crap.
Moms are the best. Mm. Yes. But yeah, she was my angel. And I finally heard her one day. And about 3 years into my addiction, I hit my knees. I was broken. I was done. I had no way out. And I finally asked for help. And throughout the course of my life, I spent all sorts of things trying to figure it out. I didn't do formal treatment. My mom sent me to a friend who she knew had helped people with addiction before. So I went out to his cabin. He took my car keys and my phone away. And I literally smoked weed and ate soup for 3 weeks straight to just get my immune system back up and running. Yeah. And that saved my life. It saved my life. But I knew after that 3 weeks was up, once I got my car keys and my phone back, I was just going to go right back into it. So I knew that I had to make some pretty big changes in my life. So I decided, Cindy the Rebel, decided that it was time for me to skip the country. And I was going to move to a country that had the death sentence if you did drugs.
Oh my God. Well, that's one way to do it.
One way to do it. So I moved to Jakarta, Indonesia for a year. I taught English there and did not love it. Did not love it. It wasn't the best rehab. It's not something I would recommend to anyone. I was diagnosed with bronchitis 9 months out of this 12 that I was there because I had black mold in my room behind my air conditioning unit and we didn't know. I ended up with pneumonia, almost died in third world country hospital. It was just this plethora of things that continued to happen. And at the time I thought they were happening to me, right? Instead of through me. I didn't understand how the universe worked at that time. Wasn't ready to come home at the end of that year. So I chose another country that had very bad punishment if you do drugs. And I moved to Dubai, and I lived in Dubai for a year. Again, teaching English, but mostly shopping, because that's what you do in Dubai.
There then.
Yeah. And then I decided to come home. My mom got really sick, and she was a bit of a celebrity in the hospital because I was in Dubai phoning her once a week. My brother was in New Zealand phoning her once a week. And so she would get these phone calls from all over the world. She loved it.
Yeah.
But I decided to come home because she had to have major surgery, and in the coming home, relapsed and fell back into the wrong crowd again.
Right.
Because I had no idea who I was. I think that was the biggest challenge, is that I was seeking the answers to my life outside of myself through going to a different country, drugs, alcohol, other people.
Yeah.
So when I came home, I decided personal development was my pathway. And I took T. Harv Eker's Quantum Leap program. I was all in with Brendon Burchard. I was studying everything you could possibly study and spending a lot of money to do so.
Yeah.
Spending my dad's insurance money. So manipulating my mom out of money, borrowing my money from my mom all the time. She paid my way for this personal development, which ended up being really good, of course, but it was a lot of money and a lot of traveling. And then I came home and got a DUI. And that was the end for me. At that point, I was like, I need to get my shit together and pull up my big girl pants and do the thing.
Yeah.
So I went to work to go pay that off and worked on the pipelines in northern Saskatchewan for about a year. Worst job of my life, but it helped me to pay for the lawyer and all the things.
Yeah.
And I finally started shifting and getting my life back together from there.
Okay. So how did all of these experiences affect or change you as a person?
I personally believe, and because of the work that I've done in the last 5 years to really understand who I am and what my purpose is on this planet, I believe that we chose this before we came in. And so I believe that I chose the pathway of addiction, physical abuse, emotional abuse, so that I could see myself for who I am. And so I look back at those experiences, not with shame, not with guilt or anything like that. I am grateful for those experiences because they molded me into who I am today. I am strong. I am powerful. Nobody can mess with me. I got street smarts and intellectual smarts. And it helps me to stand my ground as a business owner and an entrepreneur.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I love how powerfully you are able to speak about yourself.
Mm.
That is a beautiful quality. And I hope that for every person on the planet that they can know themselves, right? That deeply, to where they can confidently say with that kind of power, who the fuck they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. That's what I want, is for people to know who they are.
So what helped you survive?
I mean, through the worst of it, definitely my mom. The constant, I love you, I love you, I love you, because I didn't love myself. And so I borrowed that belief in myself for a long time. But what really changed me was two things. Number one, I got a numerology report from my coach and now business partner, Joy Kingsborough, and I saw myself for the first time. It was as if, as she was delivering this report to me, I remembered who I was. And I had an opening of curiosity, an opening of possibility into maybe, just maybe, I don't have to live this old story anymore. And then I took her course, Mastering the Brain Game, and it changed everything, because then I understood the science behind our emotions and how our brains work and how to use that to our advantage and leverage that so that we can create a life of absolute possibility.
Beautiful. So Okay, so I'm hearing numerology. I'm hearing a lot of going inside. Can you talk a little bit more about that spiritual part of your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I was never spiritual, not even a little bit. When I was growing up, my mom tried to get me to go to church and I had a choice. You can go to church or you can work with dad on the farm. I chose church once because I was lazy and didn't want to go to work. And I never went back. I chose dad every single time after that because it was a very traditional church. And I'm not a traditional person. And I want to understand the science. And I have a lot of questions. Yes. Where's the dinosaurs in the Bible? I don't get it. And dad was very philosophical. He would always question things. So we would get into some pretty deep conversations while we were working together.
Sounds like so,
yeah, he was a teacher. And I needed the science. I needed to understand because of my numerology, I am very prominent on the physical plane. And so the spiritual world didn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I first met Joy, my business partner now, I just was like, wow, she is super woo. Like, I just don't even understand this. But then I started listening to her daily broadcast where she was talking about the daily energy, and she brought it to a place where it made sense to me. It wasn't woo woo. It wasn't quote unquote spiritual. And to me, it just made sense because it was math.
Yeah.
What I did not realize was that it was opening me up to my spiritual path. And I today will tell you, I am extremely spiritual. In fact, that's pretty much all I am, but I know how to bring the spiritual into the physical plane to make it make sense.
Yeah, 100%. So what are you going through now? What are you still healing from? What are you working on in your life now? What do you feel like you've got it beat and like it's, what have you like really overcame, you know, that you're like, I'll never go back there. And then what are you going through now?
Oh, I love that question because the answer is I'm not healing anything. I'm done healing. I am a creator. There is nothing left to heal. When I notice things rise up, oh, I just got total goosebumps. Ooh,
me too.
I love the affirmation of that because we are all creators, all of us. And every once in a while, when we decide that we want something, then it shows up and it rises up and says, hey, I need some attention. And then we can go to a healer or we can do the inner work that needs to happen. But oftentimes when we feel, and I've done this in the past, where I feel like massive emotion rise up, my mind would go to, there's something wrong. And the thing that has shifted for me recently is that I understand when emotions rise up like that, there's nothing wrong. There's just some. So when we notice these emotions rising up, we can just witness it and let it rise up. It is the judgment of the emotion that causes the problem. And I used to be the biggest judge of my emotions. Anger was my go-to. I was so frustrated. I carry the arrow of frustration in my numerology chart. And so it was no doubt that every time I was triggered by something outside of myself, I would fly off the handle and it was all their fault. But instead I started recognizing that being triggered outside of myself was a direct reflection of what was happening inside of myself. And so now when I notice the emotions rising up, I can just witness it. Yeah. And I can just say, oh, hey, buddy, how's it going? Right. I don't judge you. You can be here. It's all good. If there's anything I need to know, let me know. But otherwise, you can just leave or not leave because energy is neither created nor destroyed, but we can transmute it into something else.
Yeah.
So the worry, the anxiety is a direct cry for creative expression. We see this with artists all the time. The artist who's depressed goes and creates something magical, right? So we're transmuting that energy into something else. So when I get angry, I'm like, ooh, I see power. Where do I want to direct the power?
Beautiful. Yeah, I did the same thing. And it was with the, I would go, well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Curious, where is this coming from? Why are you here? What's going on? What do I need to do to make it better? Right.
I would even invite you to take it just a step further in that you don't need to know why it's there. You don't need to go looking for why it's there. You can just let it rise up and leave. Yeah, the mind wants to control. The mind wants to go to the judgment of there's something wrong in that question. Why are you here? Oh. It's simply here. What if you could just let it go without needing to know why, without needing to control it? You just be like, oh, hi, you can go now. Right? That's all it wants, is to be seen.
I love that. I'm gonna shift and try to bring more of that into my life.
Get super curious. Like, I wonder where this could be directed instead of I wonder what's wrong.
Just like keeping it a constant flow instead of staying stuck in it, right?
Yeah. Society's trained us to think that it's wrong to feel sad or angry. We've been told to numb it and drug it and all the things, Netflix it, feed it, right? And the moment that we recognize the programming that society has given us, and we feel that anger or that sadness or that anxiety rising up, instead of going to the programming, which is the information superhighway our neurons are on, we can just pivot just a little bit and interrupt the thought, get super curious and go, I wonder where I could direct this thought, instead of, oh my God, there must be something wrong with me.
Beautiful.
There's nothing wrong.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm gonna make a commitment today to shift into that.
I love it.
Right. So I know you already talked about your mom, and you talked about, right, a family friend that helped you. Was there any other big supports along your journey? And how did they
support? Every human that's ever been in my experience has supported me, whether I
whether it was pleasant or not.
I've had a lot of humans show me what not to do. I'll put it that way. Because of my internal landscape of constantly judging myself, constantly thinking I was not enough, that I'm just a cocaine addict and I'm not worthy, et cetera, everyone's always going to leave me. The people in my world proved that to me time and time again. And so relationships fell apart. Men left me, men abused me physically, emotionally, and mentally. So was there a positive support in my life outside my mother? Not until I met Joy. So when I met Joy, everything changed, because I had a circle of influence all of a sudden who were lifting me up instead of putting me down. There was a moment in my life where I made a decision that I was worth more than this. And that moment, I remember I was bartending at this dive bar. It was so bad. I had a baseball bat behind the bar because I had to close the bar by myself. And never really had to use it except for the very last night I ever worked at that bar. I was threatened by a guy who tried to jump over the bar when I cut him off, and I pulled the baseball bat out. I didn't use it, but I threatened him with it.
Oh my God.
And that night when I went home, I got in my car and I just started bawling. And I made a decision that I was worth more than this. And on the drive home, a song by Hailstorm came on, I Am the Fire. And I listened to that song over and over and over again. There's a line in that song that says, I am the one that I've been waiting for. And something triggered me in that moment, right? I was like, oh, here I am trying to get everybody else around me to do the things that I want when it's all about me. So I went home that night and stayed up all night Googling new careers. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And it was that trigger of that moment that made me realize I was worth more. I deserved more. So I went back to school as a mature student, chose the wrong program. It doesn't matter. I graduated. No, I never use it. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. But as part of that, this series of events unfolded where I ended up in a room at a live event where Joy Kingsborough was, who is now my business partner. Wow. So it just unfolded. The universe works in magical ways.
Still led you in the right direction.
Yeah.
I had a similar self-worth moment when working at a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I was treated by men in the gas station we were working there, and I remember walking out and never, I was like, I remember committing to myself, if I was treated badly by one more man at that gas station, that I would have to leave and never come back. And yeah. I did. I left, walked right out.
Yeah. It's those moments of choice that change everything.
Yeah. It's little moments of choice. where you're either choosing that you deserve more or accepting what currently is, right?
Yeah.
So, do you have any favorite quotes, sayings, mantras, or mottos or prayers that have helped you, like that you've said repeatedly to yourself as in the moments where it's really difficult to help get you through?
One of my favorite ones that I use now is complication is not the way of the universe. So in my studies over the last 5 years as a certified universal laws coach, I have really come to understand how the laws support us and how much the universe is actually supporting us and how simple all this stuff actually is. Yeah. But our brains, our lovely, lovely brains, the little five-year-olds that are running around in our heads, they just love to make it hard. Yeah. So one of my expressions that started about a year ago when I was taking a course called Mind Shift came out as there is no fucking mountain. Because as a ruling number four, somebody who's very ingrained in the physical plane,
yeah.
I love to try to control my physical world. I was trying to control my bank accounts. I was trying to control everything. I would sit in front of my computer and fight with technology for hours, just trying to get it to work. And what I started noticing in my work with Joy is that the moment that I would release and surrender and just be like, ah, there's no mountain, just walk away. And I'd walk away and I'd come back to the computer 20 minutes later and the technology would just work itself out.
Yes.
And I'd be like, what is happening? And I thought it was my mom. I thought it was, you know, why can't I figure this out? We hit that mini no way out where we have forgotten that there is limitless possibility for us.
For sure.
And we try to control it. So that was what my MO was for the longest time. And so the mountain is the trying to figure out how to make it work. Yeah. Well, how is the biggest dream killer of them all? Because if you know how, you're just recreating your past. You're not creating a future. And so I started walking away from that with that expression of there is no fucking mountain over and over and over again. But it's now changed to complications, not the way of the universe. So if something feels hard, just walk away. Come back to it if you're inspired to do so, or pivot.
Complication is not the way of the universe, and there is no fucking mountain.
And time and time again, I am reminded of this because I'll go to a session with Joy, we'll go through numerology or something, and I'll be like, oh, I was making that hard.
Yeah, and I am just come. That is so in alignment for me right now because I've been making the transition from hustle mentality to ease mentality, right? That I was programmed right in society that work has to be hard. And if I don't feel exhausted at the end of it, then it means I didn't do a good job, right? That when you're in your soul's work and purpose, right? It gets to feel easy. It gets to feel flowy. There's a divine timing to everything, move into more of that feminine energetics of business, right? From the masculine hustle, hard work.
There's a time and a place for the masculine. Absolutely. There always is because we are unity, right?
Right.
But yeah, flow is our natural way of being.
Yeah.
Being in flow with the universe, being in flow with energy. And that's why when we judge our emotions, we're blocking that flow. Because all of a sudden we're stopping that energy in our body and then our body starts feeling tired. So this is what we do when we control too. When we're at the computer and hustling and grinding and doing the things and an hour later, you're like, oh my God, why am I so drained? You're not in flow. You can have the masculine and the feminine at the same time and be in absolute flow because of inspiration.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. And doesn't it all just work out so beautifully? It's like when you, if you just follow your inspired guidance and only take inspired actions. And then, like you said, there's pieces where you might have to figure something out or like do a little labor, medial tasks or whatever to get the inspired action done, but it doesn't feel the same anymore. It's like, ooh, I've got to get that puzzle piece. So you're like excited to get the thing.
Yeah.
And you don't feel exhausted afterward because you're running on that universal energy that's flowing through you. It's like so much better way to live. All right. So if you had to give one piece of advice to somebody who was going through the exact kind of recovery rebirth journey that you have been on, mm-hmm. only tell them the one thing, what would it be?
Love the fuck out of yourself.
Yes.
Give yourself a hug every morning. Pat yourself on the back a million times a day. Positive, like, it sounds so cheesy and cliche, the positive self-talk. And there's a time where we can't bypass, right? If there's stuff coming up, you can't just be like, I am wealthy when you feel broke and your bank accounts are empty. We can't bypass that. Right. So it's about really being aware of where you're at, accepting where you're at, forgiving yourself for ever believing that the people and the things outside of you were the reason why you couldn't have what you want.
Yeah.
Decide what you want and then love yourself enough to know that you can have it.
Yes. I love it. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I think my advice is almost probably very similar.
Yeah. I think that's the key to all of humanity. The more we love ourselves, the more that reflects outside of us and it automatically heals the world.
Yes, girl. Yes, girl. Preach.
Preach. No, I want to break into a Michael Jackson song. Heal the world.
I always call it my Miss America moment. I'm like, it's possible for us to have an entire world where everybody loves themselves and we all love each other.
You did that on my podcast. I love it.
I always have to make fun of it. I'm like, people are not going to understand that I'm like a real person if I'm over here. Like, I'm like, what kind of woo-woo reality are you living in? So what is next for you? Where are you going from here? What's next on your journey?
More impact, more wealth, more possibilities, more humans, just continuing on the same path that I'm on, just amplifying it.
I love that.
Yeah, I know that I'm on the right path. There is no shadow of a doubt that I have found myself and I know where I'm going.
Yeah, I feel such a limitless energy, an open, limitless, expansive energy when you say that.
Yeah.
So do you have any final words, Miss Cindy?
Yeah, I think it's just really important, especially with everything that's happening in the world during these times. You know, I'm living in a place right now where everything's underwater. The climate is, the earth is adjusting herself. There's all sorts of things happening, global pandemic, all of this. It can create massive anxiety. It can create fear because we're looking outside of ourselves. We're looking at the news. We're looking at social media. We're looking at everything else to give us the answers. The answers are within you. So the more you love yourself, the more you feel into who you are, the more you understand who you are and focus on that. And if it sounds selfish, I don't care. Do it anyways.
Yeah.
The most selfless thing you can do is to love yourself. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Your safety, your security, your wealth, your love, your appreciation, it all comes from within. So be the one who's willing to give it to yourself.
I just adore you. And I know everybody watching and listening is going to adore you too. And they're going to be like, where the fuck do I find Cindy online? So tell them where to go if they want to hook up with you, if they want to watch your podcast, if they want to.
Yeah, I'm everywhere. Just Google Cindy Van Arnam and you'll find me. Website, cindyvanarnam.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm all over the place. So it's not hard to find me. Just Google my name and you'll find me. The website where any of my offerings are is joyandjonah.com. We're in the middle at the moment of transitioning things. So not all of, because I'm in business partnership now, I am promoting the offers of the company. And so there is, anyways, joyandjonah.com, which is JoyandJonah. There we go.
Beautiful. And I will be putting all the information where you can go find Cindy and her business in the show notes. So definitely check that out there.
Thank you so much.
This has been an amazing pleasure. I learned things today. And I really am just really very appreciative for you to come on today, spend your time loving on my audience. And thank you so much. I can't wait to do more with you in the future.
Thank you. Me too.
This episode is brought to you by the How to Wear a Crown course. It is vulnerable, authentic, real as fuck. Man, it's bold, expressive, heartfelt, and soul-led. I'm telling you, blood, sweat, and tears went into this course. I gave zero fucks when speaking my truth and telling my stories. It was made with the intention of having a sacred space where you can learn everything that you need to know about self-worth and be guided hand in hand throughout the experience. So if you want to embark on a spiritual experience of awakening your personal power, if you want to break the cycle of self-hate and toxicity in your family line, if you crave the ability to unlock your full potential and begin to create a life of your dreams, if you're ready for more love, more fulfillment, more money, more joy, more laughter, more dreams coming true, and more everything, if you're willing to invest in yourself and do the fucking work, if you refuse to stay stuck in internal conflict and a lackluster life for another damn second, then this journey is for you. This course is what I needed and didn't have. When I was learning how to love myself, I craved something just like this, but it didn't exist. I'm grateful to be the one that has walked this path. And now I'm honored to be delivering this content to you. And the best part is, you get lifetime access to the content. It never expires. It never leaves. You can use it over and over again, forever. This is a 14-session journey guided by me, Rachel Greenwell, life and spiritual coach. It was lovingly designed to walk you through the actionable steps necessary to create an unshakable sense of self-worth that nobody and nothing can take away from you. Learn your worth, awaken your power, and unlock your potential. If you feel called, please enroll today by going to www.iamrockhel.com. That's I-A-M-R-O-C-K-L.com.